This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. What's up, everybody? Hey, I like it a lot better when the lights are on. I like to see your faces. Otherwise, I feel like I'm talking into an empty room, and that's just weird. Have you ever done that? Like, go outside tonight when it's pitch black and start just talking to the darkness and be like, this is not strange at all, right? No? Okay, you do that? Weird. And I thought I was a strange cat. You guys are different. Hey, we're so glad you guys are here with us this morning at Motion. We think this, as we say, it's the best hour of your week. I tell people all the time, and I'm not kidding. Like, I would come to this church even if I wasn't the pastor. I like this church a lot. I love our worship team. If you have ever been to a church that didn't have good music, then you will appreciate our music. If you're spoiled and you've been here for a while, don't take it for granted, because I'm telling you, these guys are ridiculous. They're talented. They're amazing. And here's the thing. They're not entertainers. I don't know if you knew that or not. Their goal is not to entertain. Their goal is to lead us in worship, right? So thankful for them. So appreciative of all they did, because they put in a lot more time than probably any other area of not that other people don't do significant things, right? But they put in, as far as practice and that sort of thing, a lot more time than some of the other areas. Y'all with me? Y'all good? Everybody offended? Whatever. Let's go. So we kicked off a series a couple weeks ago called Game Day. Now, I told you guys last week, They brought this idea of like, hey, it's the 11th birthday party. There's 11 players on a football team. Like, why don't we have the football themed birthday party and we can do a series around it? And I was just like, that's a terrible idea. Football is so overrated. That's what I said. I didn't say that at all. Right. I love football. That was the easiest sell. That was like, so I'm not going to go with, there's probably a lot of analogies you could use there. Like chocolate cake and, you know, right, I love chocolate cake. You can sell me chocolate cake real quick. Cheesecake more than chocolate cake, but whatever. So it was an easy sell for me to do this idea or this theme, this series around football. And so what we've done is we've looked at a few of the different kind of the quotes and things that you find in football and how they correlate to Christianity and our life as followers of Jesus. We kicked off the first week talking about how we should stick to the game plan, right? It's one of these things that you hear all the time in sports, stick to the game plan. And I think we would be very wise to stick to the game plan when it comes to following Jesus. He's got a script that he's written that he's asked us to follow. He's got a plan for each and every one of us, and we should stick to that game plan regardless of what comes our way. And then last week, what did we talk about last week? Anybody remember what we talked about last week? I'm going to put you on the spot, actually, because I just drew a blank. Being very honest, right? Last week, it was really good. Been a whole lot of 168 hours between then and now, and I've completely forgotten what it was that we talked about last week. Shelly, you got any ideas? Oh. Play to win. Herm Edwards. How in the world can I forget? You play to win the game. Hello, right? And so we talked about all of that. And then this week, we're going to talk about something that's just a little bit different. I think this one is, it's a little more specific, right? Do we have any kickers in the room? Anybody that played football that was a kicker by chance? All right. Not soccer. That's not even a sport. Just kidding. It's internationally, it's the most popular sport in the world, right? But, right, sorry. I know some of y'all really love soccer, so I apologize. So the kicker in sports. Now, I have a very strong disdain for kickers because, let me give you just a really quick story. We were in the playoffs in high school, and we lost by 1 point, and guess who missed an extra point? Our kicker, right? Now, what would have happened outside of that? Like, we may have gone into overtime and still lost anyway, but we're going to blame the kicker because kickers are easy to blame, right? So what happens in sports a lot of times, now, only when the moment is the most tense, right? Only when you need a tying field goal or a go-ahead field goal or extra point, the opposing team will do this thing. So the kicker trots out there. Generally, now, you've seen some kickers who don't necessarily fit the mold. Kickers are generally the smallest guy on the team, so they'll trot out there, and they've got, you know, really, really strong legs. And so they'll run out there and get ready to kick the field goal or the extra point. And then right about the time, and you know, they do this, they've got this whole routine, right? Where they kind of step it off and, right? And just about the time they're going to snap the ball, the opposing team will go, right? They'll call a timeout. And it's this expression known as icing the kicker. So what you're trying to do in the moment is you're trying to get all of the nerves and all of the nervousness from this in this kicker, like get it riled up, get it to a got a kind of an emotional flurry, right? So that he can't focus on the task at hand. He can't do the thing that he's done so many times before, that he's practiced, that he's executed so many times, because he's freaking out in the moment. You ice the kicker, right? Everybody seen this? You familiar with it? Do you know what this really kind of is in reality? It's just a pause for dramatic effect, right? Isn't it just a pause? And like, yeah, there's a timeout, but that timeout doesn't last forever. It's just a pause. There are limitations on the amount of time that a timeout can last. That's the whole concept of a timeout. And so they call a timeout, but the timeout will end at some point. And it's just setting him up for a greater and more dramatic outcome. And I think if we view our lives like this, when there is a pause, when there's a timeout, when things are going so well and we're making progress and we think we're on the right track, and then something happens and it's this pause, it's this timeout, and we feel like we're being iced. I think if we looked at it as just a setup for what God's trying to do, if it's just, it's not just a setback, but it's a set up for what God's trying to do in our lives. You know that in public speaking, now, how many of you guys enjoyed speech like in high school or college? Two of you, okay? It is terrifying. Like, it is absolutely terrifying. And apparently I'm a masochist because I do it, right? It's one of those things like you enjoy, but it's also terrifying at the same time. So they say in public speaking that what you're supposed to do is every once in a while you pause for dramatic effect, right? And I'm so bad at this because I just like, I always say that like there's some Northern in me because I just talk fast, right? There's just like an auctioneer. So it's really hard for me to pause for dramatic effect just because I like to keep saying what it is that I got to be saying, right? And so what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take the tension of a moment, kind of this conflict that people are dealing with, and you pause and you let it resonate and you let it just rest on the crowd, right? Like if you're actually good at public speaking, this is what you would do. And so then what happens is you're just setting them up, right, to kind of resolve the tension that's created by the pause. And I think that's what happens when we ice the kicker. It's just a pause. It's just a temporary stop in the action, and we will continue to make. And here's the thing, like from the pause, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to kick it, and you're going to make it, or you're going to miss it. But you at least get the opportunity to do just that. So what happens in our life sometimes is I think God allows pauses in our life. And it's really just, again, kind of for dramatic effect. It's a setup for what it is that he wants to do in our life. So there are some things that we can learn during this process. Let's talk about the pause. Did I pause long enough? The pause. So of course, all of that being said, you have to deal with, you can't have the pause and you know, for dramatic effect without the pause. You have to experience the pause. I don't know about you, but I hate pauses. I am, my patience is low, right? I like things to be moving. I like things to be shaken and happening. I don't like, Shelly gives me a hard time. I don't like being told what to do. Now, I know some of y'all are like cool with it, right? It's like, just kind of give me some ideas of what to do. And some people are just, that's not me, man. That is not like my jam. That's not how I roll, right? Or is it butter goes on a roll, right? He must be butter because he's on a roll. It's these crazy sports, right? So pauses are frustrating. Pauses can be extremely disheartening. They can be debilitating, right? Just because we think we're doing well and we're on the right track and we're making progress, and then all of a sudden we're not. We're kind of stuck in our tracks right where we are, but we have to experience the pause if we want to experience the dramatic effect. Y'all know that sometimes a pause is just like this silence, like where we just don't feel like God is speaking to us. We don't feel like we're hearing from him. Doesn't change our faith in him, but it's just the feeling of the moment or the season is a little bit different. And so what happens sometimes in those pauses is you start to have doubts, right? You start to, I just maybe I don't know if this is the path that I'm supposed to be on, because if it's the path that I was supposed to be on, then why would it be so hard? Why would God be allowing me to go through these things? If this is the direction that he wants me to go with my life, then why am I struggling with this? Or why am I experiencing this suffering if this is the direction that he wants me to go? Now, again, the pause, I think God can use for good. It doesn't always have to be bad. For whatever reason, we view a pause as it's always the negative. It's like, oh, you know, this can't be right because of the pause, right? It can cause us to question. It causes us to have doubts. It can cause us to start to wonder like how good God is really, right? Okay. It can cause us to wonder, like, you know, like if God really does love me and if God really is for me, then why am I experiencing this season, this moment, this pause? And I think what we would be wise to remember is that any good parent allows their children to struggle, right? Not to fail completely, utterly, and miserably, right? But they allow them to struggle because if you don't struggle, you never grow. If you don't struggle and you're never challenged and you're never pushed, then you're not going to be a very productive member of society. So God as a father, he allows us to go through some struggles for a couple of reasons. One, when I go through struggles, guess who I'm looking to? I'm trying to find him, right? I'm trying to see where he's at. I'm trying to see what he wants from me. I'm trying to see how he's working. So when I'm struggling, my faith is actually increased, not diminished. I've got greater faith when I'm struggling because I realize, man, I can't do this on my own, but I know someone who can. Let me find out. Let me ask him what he wants to do in this situation, what he wants to show me, what he wants to teach me. So not only does my faith increase when I'm struggling, but what you also find is like your greatest moments of growth are in struggles. Nobody grows when things are good, right? Nobody grows when things are easy. Like I always come back to the same analogies because they make so much sense to me, right? Like we understand the concept of working out and training like we've talked about. And really all you're doing is you're struggling and you're micro tearing muscle, right? So that it can then grow back stronger. And it's really all that happens in these pauses. You know, we celebrate this thing every year called Easter. Or if you've watched Nacho Libre, it's Easters. Three of you? Really? I thought y'all had better taste in movies and whatnot. So we celebrate this thing every year called Easter. And Easter is really just what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? So we celebrate that every single year. Now, what we tend to forget when we celebrate Easter is that Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. You want to talk about a pause. You want to talk about people being kind of overwhelmed with the weight of the moment. The people who devoted their lives to him for one, for two, for 3 days were like, what's he doing? Where's he at? Is he really good? Is he really capable? Is he really God? Can he really do what he says he can do? Is he really able to do the things that he told us that he was able to do? Because right now in this pause, in this moment, it's not looking so good. And so ultimately, again, knowing the rest of the story, we understand that I got some old like gospel songs. Like when I hear the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, remember that one? Yeah. You remember which one I'm talking about? Yeah. You want to come sing it? Lion of Judah. Okay. Sorry. I tell you guys all the time, and I don't know if you believe me or not. Shelly and I, we do this like church jukebox thing. It's fun. So we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection every year. And what is it? It's just a pause. It's the icing, the kicker, the moment where you thought maybe you would be victorious on the other side, right? The enemy thought he was going to be victorious, but you find out that he kicked a field goal, which is also worth 3 points. I'm going to throw that out there. That's interesting. What a great correlation. So I think there are some lessons that we can learn in the pause. Let's talk about a few lessons that we can learn in the pause. The first one is this: his ways are higher. God, you know, sometimes I think I'm real smart. And now, let me balance that out. There are some days that I realize just how dumb I am, but there are some days where I'm like, you know, pretty smart. And especially when I start comparing myself to some other people, I'm like I get on Facebook and I'm like, I'm the smartest person in the world. Like, hands down, no questions asked. I am the president of Mensa at this particular moment, right? Nobody in the world is smarter than I am when I get on some of this stuff, right? But the reality is, like, I just don't know everything that's going on. I can't see in full. I can't see the totality of every situation. I just have a very limited view. I have a very limited cognitive capability. Like, our abilities are finite, but we serve a God who is infinite, who sees in full, who is not limited in any way, any form, any fashion like we are. So we just have to remember that his ways are higher than our ways. And so when we feel we're in a season or situation that there's a pause, just remember that, but part of God's ways being higher means that his timing is better. How many times have you wanted something to happen in the moment that you wanted to happen and you look back and you're like, thank God it didn't happen? Because we operate with again, these limitations, but we serve a God who doesn't have those limitations. So his timing, his ways, and his plan, it's always better than ours. Again, I come up with some really good ideas. Ish. Right? What I think, what I perceive to be really good ideas. God's plan for my life is always better than my plan for my life. God's plan for your life is always better than your plan for your life. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, it says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," which is, just so we're clear, way higher. We're not even close. It's not even a close second. It's a ridiculously distant second. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." God talking to us. His ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So when you're in a moment, right? When you're in a season or situation where you thought things were going a certain direction and you experience the pause, like, just remember, God's in control. God's smarter than you are. God's got a plan. He's going to work these things out. Maybe not the way that you think they should be worked out, which is probably in the end a good thing. So that's the first part, is that his ways are higher. The second thing is this. The pause is a mess. Can we be honest? The pause is messy. It's frustrating. It's irritating. And all of those emotions that it invokes, it is messy. But you know what kind of mess it is? It's a mess that can be cleaned up. There is no mess. There is no chaos. There is no situation in our life that is so far gone or so far out of sorts that Jesus can't step into it and bring order. It's not a situation. There is not a situation in our lives that he cannot bring back into and under his control. And so it may seem chaotic to us, but it's not much to him. Right? It's not that he doesn't care, but it's not that big of a deal. It's not something that he can't take care of. And so I think it would be wise of us to recall that the pause is a mess that can be cleaned up. There isn't a situation in your life that Jesus can't go magic eraser on. Have you guys used magic erasers? Like, I was unaware of the effectiveness of magic erasers until, like, apparently this is a thing and it's been around for a long time, and I was living in blindness and idiocy, right? So the magic eraser, it cleans up everything, like anything. Like, if, and I don't condone this, but if you ever committed a crime, I'm just saying, what I would do is I would go get some bleach and magic eraser. I'm just kidding. Delete this portion of the podcast, right? So get some magic erasers. And you know what our situations are sometimes? Have you seen the commercials? It's always like the carpet commercial, the flooring commercial, and the kid is running through the house. Like, first off, why you got a three-year-old with a cup without a lid? First question I got for you, right? So your kid is like running through the house with a cup of Kool-Aid, and it's just like, no, and it's slow motion for dramatic effect, right? And the kid's like, no, and a red Kool-Aid goes all over the white carpet. Second question, why you got kids and got white carpet? Like, what level of dumb are we dealing with here? Just doesn't make any sense. Shelly and I, at one point in our life, we're like, we're going to have white furniture. And then we've kids and dogs, and I'm just like, we're going to get black furniture, like black leather furniture, just cannot be run. Craziest thing. So what happens is the kid always spills red Kool-Aid on the white carpet. And as you know, that's probably one of the hardest things to clean up. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says this, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." There is no situation that God can, if God can take our sin that is red like scarlet and he can turn it white as snow, there is no situation that he can't rectify. There is no situation that he can't make right what is wrong. Y'all remember the Etch-a-Sketch? Oh man, like, I was so frustrated. There were so many people who could actually do stuff with this. I'm just like, doo-ba-doo, right? And it's just, have you noticed it? Like, when you thought you were going right, you were going left, and then you thought you were going left, but you were going right, and it just butchered all of your efforts, right? So you put all this effort into it, and then you mess it up. Isn't that typically how it goes? Like, it was going so well, I almost made a perfect square, because that's about the depth of my artistic ability with an Etch-a-Sketch, right? And so it was going so well, and then I made a wrong turn. And dadgummit, I messed the whole thing up. So then you get frustrated. What do you do when you get frustrated? You just start twisting the knobs. Anybody else do that? But you know what's so cool about Jesus is that, you know, you can just kind of reset. You can kind of take what was a mess and make it oh, wow, that's pretty cool, right? It's a mess that can be cleaned up. Who knew that the Etch-A-Sketch would preach so good? So the next thing to know about DePaul's, so obviously it's a mess that can be cleaned up. His ways are higher. But also remember, God is always at work. He is always at work. And what's so kind of, can I be honest, what's kind of frustrating, sometimes I think God waits till we get to the absolute end of our ropes. And he waits till we just can't take another step. We can't breathe another breath. We can't think another thought and speak another word until he just, hello, right? Steps in and he's like, hey, I got you. I got you. You know, if you would have started here, we probably would have avoided a lot of this, but I'm glad that you're here now. I'm glad that you're leaning in now. And so it's just important to remember that God is always at work. When the pause feels insurmountable, when it feels overwhelming, we have to remember that God is at work on our behalf. Y'all want a preacher quote? It's a good one. This is one that has been with me all of my Christian life, right? So 20 whatever years. Is when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Like when you get down to where you don't have anything left in the tank, you don't have anything else to give, maybe that nothing is like, maybe your bank account is nothing, right? Whatever your situation is, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. And we just have to remember that God is always, always, always at work. So the pause is really just another opportunity for God to do what God does and to demonstrate his incredible power, faithfulness, and love in our life. So that's the pause, some things that we can learn from the pause. But let's talk about the dramatic effect, right? Because that's what we all want. We all want the dramatic effect. So I was watching football yesterday. I didn't know how else to set that up. I know that's a shocker. Generally, I only watch documentaries and National Geographic and those sorts of things. Very educational stuff, right? So I was watching football yesterday. Anybody watch the end of the App State game? The Appalachian State? All right, we got one. All right, just anybody ever heard of a Hail Mary that's not Catholic? Is that offensive? I mean, they have those in Catholicism. It's a thing, right? So the Hail Mary in football, if you don't know what a Hail Mary in football is, literally there's no time left on the clock. It's the last play of the game. It's a last resort, last ditch effort. And the offense will heave the ball as far as they possibly can, try to get into the end zone because it's their only chance, their only shot of winning. So yesterday, Appalachian State was playing and they were down 28-26 with no time left on the clock. And they threw a Hail Mary and it was tipped and the guy caught it and ran into the end zone. It was incredible. It was this dramatic effect, right? It was all set up by the tension of the moment and they had no shot. And if you look at the statistics, like the statistical probability of that happening is less than 1%. Of them actually completing the pass and it being tipped and them getting it and running into the end zone. So we love the dramatic effect, right? There's this thing that happens in sports sometimes. We say that people have this thing called the clutch gene, and they've actually studied this and it's not true, but it's still really cool to think about. Like people that just, in the biggest moments, they don't seem to shy away from those moments, right? They're not afraid to take the shot, to make the pass, to do whatever it is in their particular sport. They're not afraid to do it. They've got the clutch gene and they're successful regularly, right? Maybe not all the time, but they're successful regularly. I think about Joe Montana. How many like old football fans do we have? All right, so you know what is referred to as the catch, right? So in the back of the end zone, Brent Clark caught Joe Montana's pass. Now the story goes that they go into the huddle, like it's a tense moment, right? It's this moment where they have to score. It was the NFC Championship game, if I'm correct. Is that correct? All right, cool. I was looking for my fact checkers. So it was the NFC Championship game. If they don't score, their season's over. It's done. And so the story goes that Joe Montana goes into the huddle with all of these, you know, nasty, gnarly offensive linemen and his receivers. And he just starts talking to them, just like chopping it up, like nothing, not a big deal at all. And the next play kind of goes, rolls out to the right, hits Brent Clark in the back of the end zone, and they win the game. And it's known forevermore as the catch, right? The drive and the catch. Is that correct? All right, good. Glad that we're all on the same page. So we think that some people have the clutch gene. You know who I think has the clutch gene? I think Jesus has the clutch gene. I think that God has this ability, like I said, an uncanny ability to step into moments at just the right time and make these dramatic effects of these pauses that we think are so difficult. He can do it in situations like these circumstances that we find ourselves in that seem overwhelming. They seem like a bit much. It's this hopeless situation, and God can step into it and turn it for good. I cannot tell you how many times in my own life that something happens and I'm just like, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is this person acting a fool? Why is, you know, all of this stuff going on? And then over the course of time, when I have kind of the privilege of hindsight, I see how God used it for good, right? I see that it was a dramatic effect, but it was all set up because of the tension that took place. So it can happen in a moment. Can you imagine? Think about the cross for just a moment. You want to talk about a situation or a circumstance that creates this conflict. Can you imagine being a follower of Jesus and experiencing that, right? Seeing the God that you've given up your life to follow and serve, now he's hanging on a cross. The cross is a perfect example of a situation that seems hopeless, but you understand because you see the big picture that the cross was necessary to accomplish the larger purposes of God, right? His ways are higher than our ways. It was just a pause. It was just an icing. I need a whistle. Do you have a whistle? Do you for real? All right, don't do that. That would not be good. So our situations, they aren't really any different, right? As we've already mentioned, God is always at work on our behalf for his purpose. He can take whatever we deal with and use it for good. You go all the way back to the Old Testament, it talks about Joseph and all of the things that Joseph went through. If you know the life of Joseph, probably one of the better people who's ever lived on the face of the earth based on his story. And he went through so much unnecessary adversity, unfair adversity. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He was accused of things that he did not do. He was thrown into prison as a result of that. And all of these things happen. It says that God uses circumstances that the enemy meant for destruction, and he turns them around for good. And I think he can do the same thing in our life. It's, again, this clutch gene. He can take something that in your life, it seems like it's not good. It seems like it's for your destruction, and he can turn it for your good. We all know if you've been in church any length of time, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, even if you haven't been to church, like people walk around, this is tatted and this is pillowed. Is that a thing, right? People crochet it on pillows. It's on koozies and whatnot. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, don't you find it interesting that in this verse, it doesn't say that everything is good. It says that God causes all things to work together for good, right? It's this pause. It's this tension. It's this conflict that we experience. It's the timeout, right? So your setback is just the setup. So God works in situations like that, but he also works in seasons like that. Can we be real honest in church this morning? Good. I've got permission from 5 people. It's kind of like a majority-ish, right? So what happens, if you go to church for very long at all, if you're a follower of Jesus for very long at all, you're going to experience a season in your life, again, and I think we kind of set this up, where it's not that you don't stop doing the things that you do. You don't stop going to church, and you continue to be faithful, and you still love God, and you still are obedient, and all of those things. But for whatever reason, you're going to have seasons where you just don't feel the same way. Right? Have you ever been there? You ever had some of those? It's kind of like the season where you're spiritually dry. Like, we understand seasons in terms of, hey, it's a rainy season, it's a dry season. And I think our soul is kind of like that. Like, we have seasons where, man, we just feel so close to God, so connected to him. And then we have seasons where it's kind of dry. It's like, I haven't changed anything. I still love God, but I just don't feel as connected to him or as close to him. I think it's a dry season. And what I believe it is in those seasons, I still believe that God is working, that God is good, that he has a plan, that he loves us, and it's just a pause for dramatic effect. Probably one of the most refreshing things that I've ever experienced in my life is when you've been in one of those seasons and you come out of one of those seasons, right? I think we just walked through this not long ago. We went a part of our summer without rain. Just for clarification, I hate the rain, right? I just hate the rain. It ruins everything. Like, I hate mud and puddle. Mud's fine. But what happens if you're part of any kind of, like, we play softball, for example, and then it never fails that it only wants to rain on the days that you're supposed to play softball. So just over the course of years, I've decided that I hate rain. It's so frustrating, so irritating. Nobody else feel that way? Does anybody else hate the rain? All right, your work is dependent on it, right? Like, how many of you love the rain? Move to Seattle. Bye. I'm just kidding. Kidding, right? So I don't like the rain, But we had such a long period of time without rain that when it rained, I was just like, we need some rain. And you know, if I'm saying that we need some rain, we really need some rain. And so because we walked through such a long, you know, we'll call it a drought, when the rain came, everybody was excited. What a great feeling when the rain actually comes. And you know what I think happens in our spirit also is that you're going to have some droughts. You're going to have some times where you just, it feels dry, right? I still go to church, but I don't get as much out of church that I used to. I still pray, but I just don't feel like we're, you know, things are happening, things are moving. Like all of the disciplines I'm doing, nothing has really changed, but I just don't feel the same way. And you're in a dry season, but what happens is at some point the rain is coming. I love the story in the Old Testament where it's like there is a cloud the size of a man's hand, and Elijah the prophet's like, well, you better get ready. I was about to do the billy goat and the green egg, but I'm not going to do that one because it's coming. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says this, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, obviously, this is about kind of our first step back to him. To repent means to turn around and go the other direction, right? Which is such a great, great visual, right? This is the direction that I'm going. This is a path that I'm on. It says in Proverbs that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way, the end of that path is destruction. So God wants us to repent, to turn and go the other direction. And when we do that, we get to experience these times of refreshing from the Lord. Now, I don't think it's just when we repent that we get to experience these times of refreshing. God will take seasons in your life where you're dry and you feel like you're going through the motions and you're not getting out of it what you used to get out of it. And at just the right moment, at just the right time, you're going to experience the refreshing. And what's so cool about this is like it happens at the most random times. I know for me, again, this is just my experience with this, right? I've had random times where I've kind of felt like I was in a season like this. And then just at a particular moment in a prayer time, everything changed, right? Like it just, in a moment, it felt like God was so much closer than he had been for the, you know, previous weeks or months or whatever the case may be. I've had seasons where I'm listening to a certain song and then just like, y'all ever do this? Y'all get like the we call them turkey pimples, chicken goosebumps. What else? There's a lot of chicken skin. Like, I'm just like, where do we come up with all this stuff? Right, and you just feel in that moment like the presence of God is there and he's real and he hadn't forgotten about you. Like, he still knows that you're there and he knows that you're struggling and he just wants you to remember that times of refreshing are gonna come from him. I've had seasons in my life where I was dry and other people are just, their relationship with God is wet. I don't know how else to explain it, right? It's flourishing. It's growing. They're in a rainy season. And sometimes my faith is strengthened just by being close to somebody who is experiencing God move in such a great way. So what we just have to remember is that if you're in a situation or if you're in a season, it's just a setback, right? It's just a pause for dramatic effect. Like, God hadn't forgotten about you. God's not going to leave you there. He's going to bring you back out onto the field. And he's gonna give you an opportunity to kick the field goal, right? It's just a timeout, and there is always a time constraint or restraint on the amount of time that it takes. We don't know what that is, but we know that eventually, ultimately, we're gonna get back out on the field and we're gonna kick the field goal. So if you are being iced as the kicker, just stay faithful, stay consistent, don't give up, continue to fight the good fight of faith, whatever that looks like for you, because times of refreshing are coming. They're going to come. And what's so good about this is I love the way that God almost like this. And I don't want to, I'm not saying that God plays games, but I do think God has a sense of humor. I mean, I've looked in a mirror, just throwing that out there, right? God has a sense of humor. And sometimes I think like just the way that he does things and the timing that he does things, it's just like, surprise, right? Gotcha. And you're just so thankful for it. And it changes, again, kind of changes your outlook on everything because these times of refreshing are coming from him. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we're so thankful. God, we're so thankful for a God who didn't just tell us things, but demonstrated them for us. God, you didn't just tell us to be patient in the trials and adversity that we're gonna face, but you showed us what that looks like. We're so thankful that you're a God who was the template for the way that we should live our lives. God, I pray that you would help us to remain faithful even when we don't feel it. God, if we feel like we're in those moments or seasons where we're stuck, God, it feels like a pause, feels like the progress has been put on hold. God, help us to not give up on what it is that we believe you've called us to, that we would not give up on who it is that we believe that you are, that you are God, that you are good, that you are in control, that you love us, and you have a plan for our lives. God, help us to not give up on that, even if we don't feel it. God, we understand that your ways are higher, that this just might be a pause, but the dramatic effect is coming. The comeback is coming. The setback for the setup is taking place. God, I pray for anybody in the room this morning who feels, they feel distant from you. They love you, God, and they want to follow you, and they want to give you their whole hearts, but they just don't feel as connected maybe as they once did. God, I pray that you would refresh them. God, I pray that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, and that you would remind them how much you love them and the plan that you have for them. We love you, and it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.